It's good to see you. Welcome to worship on this last Sunday of the church's calendar, a time when darkness seems to increasingly hold sway, but also a time when we gather ourselves for the journey towards Christmas and the coming of Jesus, light of the world. Welcome to this communion service. I must say as well, after the service, there will be people on hand to pray with people. That'll be following the service at Shami and Tamsin. We'll be around the front of the church to pray with people. And I want to say just quick hello to all the others on Zoom this morning. So that's Chris, Teen, Pat Norman, Ruth Harmer, and Margaret Savage as well. So and my mum and dad. So hello. Let's start with praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. That's number 68 in Baptist Praise and Worship. Thank you, Robert. That's wonderful. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, you invite us to come to you. And Lord, as we gather today, may we know your invitation to us is a personal invitation. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us in Jesus. Thank you indeed that you are King of all creation, and we praise and worship you this day. We give you our thanks for the many blessings that we have received and seen and experienced this week. We also come before you in confession, asking that you forgive us for the ways in which we have not followed you in this last week. Lord, we pray that you would touch our hearts and move amongst us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. Help us to ponder anew what you can do in our lives and in our world. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Amen.
Well done, Theo. Amen. Right, okay. Okay, over to Colin now. He's already geared up to for our first reading. Thank you, Colin.
Page 1060, 1060 of the New Church Bible. And it is from Luke 23, starting at verse 22 and going through to the 43. Luke 23, 32 to 43.
Well, look, John, did you do anything about this cinema business here?
No.
Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." A written notice above him, which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you're under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Colin. Now I'm going to hand over to Andre and the music group, who are going to sing us one of our newest songs, "His Mercy Is More," that Andre's taught to us. And it seems a very appropriate one for a communion service like this, as we to reflect upon our theme of Christ the King. "His Mercy Is More."
Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger the darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. What love could remember, no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, He cast no they some. Throw me into a sea with a bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger the darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Outweigh us, we constantly room. What Father, oh tender, is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vile, the poor. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. evermore. Our sins are many, His mercy is more. What riches of kindness He lavished on us. His blood was a payment, His life was a cost. We start with a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger the darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger the darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Andre and Clifford and Colin and Aki as well. Actually, I'm not sure Aki was playing, but bless you. Thank you. Let's bring forward the offering now, and let's give thanks, continue to give thanks to God with the offering. Thank you, Raphael. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your abundant mercy shown to us in Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the way you give new life to us and to all the world. So we offer these gifts as one way of our saying thank you to you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, our second reading, Andrew, I think, will be reading to us from Micah, the book of Micah. Thank
you. So second reading is from Micah 4, first five verses.
Can you hear now? Colin's not speaking. The chap in churches.
In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established.
Can you hear it?
As the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and people will stream to it. Many nations will come and say,
I can't hear what they're saying.
It's reading from the Bible.
To the temple of the God of Jacob, he will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord.
The last days, the mountain of the Lord.
He will judge between many people and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshare and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they.
I know he's speaking, but I can't hear what he's saying.
Everyone will sit under their own vine and their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid.
Pull the plug out.
The Lord Almighty has
pulled it out of your ear.
All the nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks so much, Obed. Thank you.
Sound effects from the parents.
I'll give you a couple of photos now. Yes, a couple of photos. I just realised I've got... that's right, yes. That reading, a prophecy of the prophet Micah, gives us a powerful picture, a picture of how God will bring together our squabbling, warring nations. And tells how people from all cultures will be united through worshipping God, the true God. How all peoples will learn God's ways and come to know how to walk with God. It's my privilege today to show you two photos which Ekramina has shared with me. Ekramina, as many of you will know, is from Istanbul in Turkey. And I hope you'll be able to see these photos in a moment. The first photo, I'm going to share in a moment, hopefully. I'm glad to see Theo's taken up his rightful position. You're going to be preaching next year, Theo. That's good. Okay. So that's a wonderful photo of obviously Mina celebrating Easter. They've obviously just decorated some Easter eggs. And that's, Mina was telling me that this photo was taken just after they'd come in from the streets, sharing the good news about Jesus on the streets of Istanbul. And you can imagine the opposition and hostility that he encountered when they did this in Istanbul. She also shared with me this photo of her church, of there we are, Mina, the front of her church in Istanbul. And this is, of course, the church where Mina came to faith and where she was baptized in the Black Sea following her, you know, coming to faith. So so let's give thanks to God for the church in Turkey, which has and does continue to experience persecution. We will later in our service, we'll pray for the churches there. We'll pray for Mina and her family in Turkey. And she's very excited that it's possible her mum may be able to come and visit soon. So we'll pray about that. One more thing to share. This next song is in Turkish. And it's good to show this because it has Istanbul as a backdrop to this video. And it's a good song for this Communion Sunday as well. See His Love, See His Love. So that there is English subtitles as well, so you'll be able to follow the words of this wonderful song all the way from Turkey. Thank you.
Kurtarıldım.
wonderful to see the church in Turkey worshipping and praising the Lord. I'm sorry, the version I had actually had the kind of English subtitles, but hopefully you're able to pick up the name of Jesus from that song. Isa, the name of Jesus is Isa in a number of languages. But I wanted to thank Mina for sharing that song with us and also sharing those wonderful photos. My talk this morning is entitled Picturing God. This week, Carey hosted the Hearts Baptist Ministers meeting. And it was a particular joy to welcome Jeff Colmer, our team leader for the Central Baptist Association, also our current Baptist Union president. It was the first time for a long time that Jeff had met other ministers in person instead of via Zoom, etc. And was particularly special to him because Jeff hadn't been able to come to the ministers' conference last month due to a health setback. Jeff didn't talk about his wide travels as president. He didn't enrapture us with visions of what God is doing and saying to the churches across our land. Instead, he talked almost exclusively about his time in a hospital bed, his time being cared for, washed and dressed by nurses. You may be aware that Jeff was diagnosed some time ago with multiple myeloma, a blood cancer, which is incurable, though thankfully treatable. Jeff talked of how God met him in the midst of his pain and bewilderment, how God spoke to him through the gift of tears, how he encountered God's love in his vulnerability and weakness. On this Sunday, when we celebrate Christ the King, I have a question, a particular question. When we are asked, how do you describe God? What are the first words we tend to use? Most likely, although not necessarily, but most likely the first words which may come to mind are almighty, supremely powerful, exalted, high over all, those kind of words and phrases. And yet this doesn't really reflect the picture God chose to leave with us. Someone has said, the picture of Jesus on the cross is the closest we get to a picture of God. But it's even more true to scripture to say that Jesus asked his followers to remember him in a particular way, in an even smaller way, through the simple homeliness of bread and wine shared around a table with friends. Jesus calls us to remember him in brokenness, a broken piece of bread, a cup of wine poured out and drunk to its dregs. We're invited to think of what this brokenness and emptiness, what this horrible bitter end was like for our Lord and King. The story of the two criminals crucified with Jesus gives us a particular angle on the last hours of Jesus. It shows us that in the midst of carrying the sins and sorrows of the world, our Lord was with these two men in their anguish. The Lord was there for them. He was for them in those awful moments. Jesus chose not to call hosts of angels to deliver him from his suffering. He could have done this easily. But what does he do instead? Firstly, Jesus asks for forgiveness for everyone, for the leaders, for the soldiers, for the crowd who do nothing to help, for both criminals, even the one who curses him. And Jesus asks forgiveness for us too. Secondly, Jesus declares salvation, specifically to the criminal who expresses faith and asks to be remembered by Jesus. But it's impossible to conclude that Jesus will not also remember the other criminal. How could he not? He died with him and for him too. Who knows whether this other criminal in his own heart, just before he died, also asked for remembrance and forgiveness. Though apparently powerless and at the end of himself, at his point of greatest weakness, Jesus reaches out to his most hostile enemies. And he also reaches out to the dying. Proof positive of the Apostle Paul's declaration that God's weakness is greater than human strength. But as this scene at the cross shows us, we want powerful superheroes, not a saviour willing to allow himself to be crucified. we don't often allow room for vulnerability because we recognize it in ourselves. So we're uncomfortable with vulnerability and weakness. But the real tragedy of the crucifixion is a double one. The awfulness of the way Jesus is made to die, but this is matched by the awfulness of the fact that Jesus is not recognized for who he really is. His own people and people like us choose to reject Jesus. Throughout this time, Jesus is proclaiming from the cross, mostly silently, this awful truth. Here is your God. Here is your God. Only the natural world, together with our Heavenly Father, goes into mourning for Jesus. The world goes dark and the earth is shaken. All of creation is caught up in paroxysms of grief. Because our suffering Saviour chose to come in weakness, we can declare a threefold affirmation of faith. Jesus is not only the King of the Jews. Jesus is not only the King of all the nations. Jesus is also the King of all creation. Jesus chose not just to identify with the brokenness of humanity, but also with the brokenness of all creation. Our holistic gospel proclaims a cosmic Christ. And the new Coldplay single, My Universe, could almost be God's love letter to all the created order. This is something which modern Western theology has too often lost sight of. By insisting that humanity is somehow the pinnacle of God's creation, we justify focusing on a saviour who just came to save human souls. This, I believe, is a misleading picture of God. Jesus' gaze of love from the cross includes all. Jesus looks with love on his enemies, the crowd, his friends and family, the two criminals. But his gaze also stretches beyond to the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus' gaze also stretches to the fullness of the earth. God's love for all the world does not detract from God's love for us. It quite simply adds to it and enhances it. Jesus looks with love on all the nooks and crannies of creation, on our tiny church garden, for example, but also the vast emptinesses of our world, even the most inhospitable and uninhabited places, the Atacama Desert, the continent of Antarctica. God says to us through Jesus, yes, I'm here too. I love these places also. The weekend before last, I joined one of the climate justice marches in London. I joined many hundreds of people of faith. Both Tear Fund and Christian Aid were well represented, and Quakers sporting T-shirts saying Quakers for Climate Justice. If only there were T-shirts which said Baptists for Climate Justice. Thousands of feet trod the way past the Bank of England to Trafalgar Square. I was very much cheered by the numbers who turned out from the churches. But I was also cheered by this sight. Opposite the Bank of England is an Anglican church. And guess what wording is carved in stone on the lintel of this church? It declares, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." The perfect text for a march. Thanks be to God for sending Jesus, his son. Jesus chose to come in weakness and tread this way too. Jesus chose to surrender himself to the ultimate vulnerability of the cross. Christ our Saviour, Christ our King, the Saviour and King of all the nations and of all creation. And so in a moment we will remember our Saviour in bread and wine. Alleluia. What a Saviour. Thanks be to God. I'd like to finish by reading to you a few verses from Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen. As we prepare to gather around the Lord's table now, we're going to sing 529 in Baptist Praise and Worship, "From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe." From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe. Thank you. So now I will invite you to gather around the Lord's table. Here is the table of the Lord. We are gathered to his supper, a foretaste of things eternal. Come when you are fearful, to be made new in love. Come when you are doubtful, to be made strong in faith. Come when you are regretful, and be made whole. Come old and young, those with faith and those struggling with faith. There is room for all. This table is open to all those who love the Lord Jesus and seek to follow him in their daily lives. Let's be quiet for a moment, and then Hilary will lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving.
Lord, we thank you for inviting us to gather around your table and for this bread and wine. We eat and drink in memory of you as we are reminded once again of your sacrifice for us. Draw us closer together as a fellowship of your people, then send us out as your representatives to love and serve you among those we come into contact with in the coming days. Amen.
Amen.
Here we set aside our wisdom, our will, our words. We acknowledge our brokenness before you, Lord. We yearn for the healing, the holding, the accepting, the forgiving, which Christ alone can offer. So may the peace of the Lord rest within us and remain with us today and always. Now I invite you to share the peace, a sign of the peace, with those closest to you. Perhaps not best not to wander around the church too much, but perhaps just offer a sign of peace to those closest to you at this moment.
Peace. Peace to you, Pat. Peace to you, Christine. Peace to your team.
The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Just before we share the bread and eat the bread together, I have three simple sentences of thanks that we're going to, it's a responsive thank you. So I'll say a sentence and then we say together, "God be blessed forever." So it's three simple sentences. After my words, we say together, "God be blessed forever." For the bread we eat day by day, God be blessed forever. For the bread of the great day that feeds us for new life, God be blessed forever. Jesus, true and living bread, touch all our days and fit us for your new day's dawning. God be blessed forever. This is the bread of life. Please eat with thanksgiving. Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Just before we share out the cup, and we'll retain the cup as a so we can drink together as a sign of our oneness in Christ. Just before that, I will say again these three sentences, and if we respond, "God be blessed forever," ever each time. For the wine that makes hearts glad, God be blessed forever. For the wine that seals the covenant, God be blessed forever. Jesus, true and living vine, make hearts glad and lives safe. God be blessed forever. Now, if you'd like to share out the wine, and we'll drink together in a moment. Thank you, Shami. We drink to remember Christ's sacrifice for all. Hallelujah. Loving God, we thank you that you have nourished us at this table. We pray today for those who hunger and thirst. May they be filled. And may we with them feast at the table of your eternal kingdom. This we ask through Jesus Christ, who was and is to come, and who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. And now, as we anticipate Advent, one of my favourite Advent hymns, Hills of the North Rejoice, 311 in Baptist Praise and Worship. Thank you, Shami. Thank you all the deacons who've helped us with communion this morning. So if you'd like to be seated, we're going to have a time of prayer now together. I'm going to begin our time of prayer this morning by reading a statement on behalf of the Baptist Union, Methodist Churches and the United Reformed Church about COP26. They write, "The summit has not delivered. This is an injustice towards those whose livelihoods have already been devastated by climate change. Some developments were crucial and welcome, but we cannot wait for the pledges to be reviewed and turned into action every 5 years. Action must be taken now. Many of our church partners in developing countries are already experiencing the dire impact of changing weather patterns on livelihoods and food security. Reverend James Bagwan, General Secretary of the Pacific Council of Churches, said as he arrived as a delegate at COP26 that for many in the Pacific Islands, Psalm 137, with its reference to being by the rivers of Babylon, has particular resonance. As these communities face exile, they experience a sense of loss of identity, loss of sovereignty, and loss of future. Our churches acknowledge this is a journey not of individuals but of a community, the people of God and the people of the earth. Whilst individual actions are important, this is a journey that requires us to work together to build a safe and healthy future for all. The involvement of so many sectors of society in COP26 was an inspiration. Sadly, the response of governments plural, including our government, is not yet adequate, and we call for further actions that respond meaningfully to the magnitude and the emergency that we face." Like I say, it's a statement for the Baptist Union, the Methodist Church and the URC about COP26. So following on from that important conference, we must turn to God in prayer. We need to pray in faith. We need to pray without ceasing. It's clear the situation for our planet is not going to go away, and it's not going to get any easier. Let us pray together. Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. Father, forgive us as we blunder on in ignorance, destroying what is good, polluting the earth, exploiting the labour of the poor, consuming more than we need, hurting those around us. Open the eyes of the people of your world, of the leaders of our world, that they and we may see and know what we're doing and turn back to you. In your love and mercy, hear our prayer. Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Saviour, help us in these times of suffering, of illness and pain, of bereavement and sorrow, of anxiety and despair, of guilt and regret. We ask that you'll be with all those who suffer, healing, strengthening and comforting them and giving them hope. We pray this morning especially for Ray and Mark Clark and all the family following the loss of Wynne. And we remember as well before you, John DeMello, a member of Rosemary Hall's family, who passed away almost exactly a year ago today. In your love and mercy, hear our prayers. Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Lord Jesus, may our lives and the life of the world be renewed and transformed by trust in your unfailing love. In your love and mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
Amen.
And Heavenly Father, we particularly want to remember Turkey in our prayers today. In a country facing growing economic uncertainty, we pray for the people and the leaders of this nation. We pray that people will find faith and hope in the living God. We pray that more people like Mina will follow Jesus and experience the good news of Jesus in their lives. We remember Mina's family, especially her mum, as she continues to recover from that terrible accident. And we pray about the plans for the family to visit the UK, for your guidance and help with this. Heavenly Father, we pray also this morning for the people of Bangladesh, one of the countries most affected by climate chaos already. We pray for the people who belong to the church in Ballapara, which was visited by Peter and Louise Lynch recently. Thank you, Lord, for the great joy in the Lord they witnessed, despite the poverty and the flooding. We thank you that a group of young girls were able to continue their education because they received new books after a flood had destroyed their old books. Praise you, Lord, that small things can make a big difference. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, the wounded healer, the King of love, we pray these things. Amen. Our closing hymn, "The Light of the Morning is Breaking," 146 in Baptist Praise and Worship. Just before I give the blessing, a reminder that there will be people available at the front of the church to pray with you if you so require. And just to say as well that those at the front of the church, please don't congregate at the front. If you're ready to go through to the lounge at the back or the hall at the back, please do go through and have some drinks. Just be conscious that there may well be people praying at the front of the church. Thank you. So go now, and as you go, know this. In grace you were created, in mercy you have been sustained, in love you will be held forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.